This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, we're on Friday here, which means
it's a beautiful day.
Almost go time. And we got a game in the book, so week three has begun. You saw last night the Carolina Panthers get the 3-0, but, man, that was a costly win.
It was. I mean, McCaffrey just came out. He's going to be out a couple weeks, in quotes, whatever that means. At least they have a long week, but it doesn't matter. I'm sure he's not going to play week four anyway. And then J.C. Horn breaking a foot is a real big deal for them. You know, they loved him. They play a lot of man coverage. He looks like a corner that's going to follow number one receivers around someday sooner than later. But they're 3-0, and the NFC doesn't look that brutal. They got a nice long week. I mean, things are going well for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, a hot start is, well, you know, anytime you string together a three-game winning streak.
Right, in this league.
It's a good thing in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, they even beat great teams. I mean, we didn't realize that. But
well, they did beat the Saints in week two.
Mm-hmm. And the organization as a whole, the quarterback, the coaching staff, I think they're all trending in the right direction in Carolina right now.
Seems to be. And you know, Sam Darnold, this is why I wanted to mention this, was acquired for not much.
Second and a fifth, I think.
I think something like that.
Yeah.
Now, I look, Sam Darnold is – I think he's got promise. I think his pocket awareness is still a little lacking at times.
A little questionable, yeah.
But he can make all the throws.
Oh, yeah, he's very talented.
You know, that's why, you know, when this season's over, you know, I don't know that you necessarily go, well, the Steelers have to do this or they have to do that. Quarterbacks are available.
Quarterbacks are available. It's really
more so than ever before.
The last couple off seasons, we've had a lot of quarterback movement. And I meant to even bring this up earlier because remember the conversation we had around Adam Schefter sending out a tweet? Right when the offseason ended, it's like right after the Super Bowl, he's like, I predict 18 new teams will have quarterbacks.
Right.
We're like, 18? Are you serious? I mean, we didn't think Matthew Stafford was going to be a Ram at that point. And some of these guys that have been fixtures for their teams, well, I think the number's 15 or 16 when it's all said and done. And we're wondering why some of these teams struggle early in the season. You know, I mean, that's a big deal. But to your point, that's 2 years in a row where – guys are on the move, and the people aren't – what's the other stat? Is basically when Stafford moved, there's only like one or two first-round quarterbacks in the last 10 or 12 years that are still with their respective teams. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's like
right.
Matt Ryan and Pat Mahomes, and that's about it, you know, except for the super young guys. So very talented players at that position are changing teams at a record rate, let alone the – Watson, Rodgers, maybe Russell Wilson type dudes that are unhappy or, you know, or going to be on the move. So there's going to be a lot to pick from. It doesn't mean you're going to get them, you know. I mean, you're going to have to fight other teams for them. But I am interested in some young reclamation project, like a Darnold type. I mean,
well, they've got one of those in Haskins right now.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't had as much success, though, as –
Experience,
right. I mean, he's still an unknown. Right.
Darnold, you know, a lot of his experience was bad experience.
But he played a lot.
He got a lot of the learning, you know,
yeah,
growth issues out of the way.
There are three guys that are now starters, Wentz, Jameis Winston, and Darnold, that I all lump together as these guys are massively inconsistent, but you can see why they're top four picks. They got a lot of ability. They're all still quite young. I mean, Darnold's only 20. He's younger than Burrow. I mean, Darnold's a young, young dude. So to write the book on these guys is crazy. And I even said then, probably one of the three will hit. Right now it looks like Darnold's going to hit and the other two are going to remain questions. But there's going to be players like that to try to, you know, try to build back their careers.
Yeah, it could be a Daniel Jones. It could be I mean, there.
I mean, there's a lot of different examples of early picks that aren't going to be.
You know, and if a guy like Deshaun Watson is traded in the offseason, then that means whoever's quarterbacking his team becomes available. And,
right. I mean, there's a dominoes and a musical chairs to it as well.
Yeah.
If there's five first round quarterbacks, well, you know, do the math. There's only 32 spots.
Right. So, you know, that all remains to be seen. But, of course, the Steelers will face a team this week with it that does have its young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the scouting report on what you've seen through 2 weeks of Joe Burrow.
before, I mean, in general.
He's not the same guy that you saw last year.
No, he's not. I mean, I think while he had his bum knee, by all accounts, he's worked a lot on his arm strength, which is a hard thing to work on.
Yeah.
But I think he creates more velocity than he used to, which was a big worry for me when he got drafted by Cincinnati. It's like, you're going to have to go to Pittsburgh in December and Cleveland, and this area of the country isn't for the weak-armed quarterbacks. Not that he's ever going to have a howitzer, but he throws the football better than I as a rookie or at LSU, in my opinion. He has one rush for 2 yards, and he looks like he doesn't trust his knee completely in the pocket at times.
And that's not all that uncommon
for a quarterback
coming off of a knee injury. I mean, if you remember
Cam Hayward falling at your bad knee, I mean, it scares
me. Remember Joe Flacco when he came back off of his knee injury? You'd see him throw the football and he'd lift that knee, lift that leg up because he didn't want somebody falling into it.
Yeah, Wolf talks about it a lot. I guess he came back from a knee or whatever, and all the linemen are like, "You're picking that leg up and favoring it like crazy."
Yeah, you don't even notice.
Didn't even notice. It's just subconscious. So I think some of that's with Burrow. But there's also times he drives right into it and takes it on the chin. I mean, he's as tough as they come. So mentally, toughness, I think, is one of his best strengths. And by all accounts, he owns that locker room already, and it's his team. And you see those things. And you heard that at LSU. He came in and as a transfer and just took over. And he's extremely, extremely accurate. He threw 3 picks in three consecutive throws. Two of which I would say are his fault. But before that, he has valued the football pretty well. I do think his mobility is compromised and is just unwilling to run. And he's been an effective runner, not a great runner.
How much of the maybe trepidation that he's having right now is because their line is not very good?
I'm sure that's some of it. And you remember last year when it was really not very good.
Because I think we're seeing some of that with Ben as well.
I think we're seeing something with Najee, too.
Yeah.
Where he will stop his feet behind the line of scrimmage a little bit and not trust your blocking. And
people were saying, well, Ben looks like he's washed up. I'll tell you what. Let me put you behind that offensive line.
Sure.
See how often you drive into throws and want to hold the football and all that. It's just it's a natural instinct that, hey, I'm going to get rid of it.
Time and time again, yeah. It's funny because I'm stealing that from Merrill last night. We had him on, and when he said it, I'm like, yeah, because – there's times when Najee isn't pressing the hole quite as much as he did at Bama or in the preseason just because you expect the guys in front of you to lose, you know? So,
well, you're just unsure of what you're seeing because they are losing.
Yeah, and I'm sure Ben has very little confidence in his pass blocking. I mean, you'll never admit that.
You get hit 10 times in a game.
Right.
You know, he gets
even when you're getting the ball out quick and doing everything right, you know, sure. And I'm sure some of that goes back to Burrow, too. I mean, his rookie year – he took much more of a beating than Ben's taken, and they threw way too often. And I'm sure he doesn't forget that, and he makes it with a bad knee, too. And that's why I think having Watt healthy for this game is massive.
Yeah, that's why, you know, you don't want that to happen to a young quarterback. I mean, we've seen it time and again, promising young quarterbacks who get the snot beat out of them, you know, early in their career, and they never become what you thought they might become. Tim Couch or David Carr or, you know, you can go on down the list of young quarterbacks who just took a beating and were just never turned into anything because they just never got over it.
I hate comparing, like, you just did this in one way. Like, imagine if you were behind that line. You know, like, we're civilians. They're different than us. I mean, I 100% know that. Anyone who's been around a team understands that. But also, you can take it too far and forget that these are human beings, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, you start talking to them. They're young men with fears and confidences just like anybody else. And your body just, to your point, I mean, it does some subconscious things that you don't think about, too, especially when you're recovering from an injury.
There was
hard to get over.
I remember my high school basketball coach. He used to he played college basketball and stuff. And he would play with us at times.
Okay.
And I remember he was guarding me one time, and I went to take about a 15-foot jump shot. And instead of going up to block or get a hand in my face, he went down and, like, tapped my knee as I was taking the shot.
Okay.
And it was just – it threw you off.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, just because it was something you weren't expecting. What's that at my legs?
He's trying to make you uncomfortable and learn to deal with those type of things. Okay.
It's subconsciously you just kind of – whether you – mean to or not, it's in your, you know, it can get into your head like that.
Sure. And I think Burrow's probably experiencing a little of that now. And I'm sure his knee doesn't feel like it's 100% too. I mean, it was a bad injury. It was not just a run-of-the-mill blown-out knee.
Right.
There is such a thing.
But I mean, I'm actually kind of shocked that he's played the first 2 weeks of the season.
A little bit.
I thought it might take him a little while, but he's played and played okay, not to the level that he played last year, though.
No. I mean, the interception performance was a little startling. I do think, this isn't what you asked, but I think big picture, he's going to be a problem for the Steelers for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love the Steelers to land somebody like him. I mean, he's the real deal, but growing pains are very much been part of his rookie and early times.
I honestly think he's probably the most talented thrower of the football in the division.
I agree. Clearly the most accurate.
Yeah.
You know, touch. And
I mean, I'd rather have him than Mayfield.
Yeah.
I know Lamar's a totally different animal,
right.
But I think I'd rather have, you know, if I want to run an NFL-style offense, I want Burrow.
Yeah. I mean, if the question is, the end of the season,
which one do you not want to play against on a given week? It's probably Jackson.
Probably Lamar. But if they said, someone, you know, you rub the genie and out comes Robin Williams and says, I can grant you one wish.
Well, that'd be a trick, too.
That would be interesting, too. We'll give you one team or one quarterback from the division to add to be Ben's back or successor. I'd probably pick Burrow.
Yeah.
So, but you're getting them at a good time.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Think,
and they're struggling as much in protection as the Steelers. Actually, they're struggling more in protection
probably,
than the Steelers.
Probably. And he probably doesn't recognize things as well as Ben or, you know, this corner's coming off the edge. You know, he's still learning those things. But he is advanced mentally.
Yeah, we'll see. You know what happens with T. Higgins. I know there's the expectation is that Higgins will play.
Is that the latest news?
That's what Zach Taylor said earlier Wednesday when he wasn't practicing. Well, the expectation is we're going to try to get him in the cornerback.
Waynes. Okay.
They may practice Friday and we'll play them.
Gotcha. So we'll probably get that news after.
But,
at some
point. Waynes, I don't think Waynes has played yet this year.
I'd have to double check, but I don't think
they're also missing
right.
A guard. Like
Cifilo,
yeah.
Who's had a really rough career, but he's a starting guard.
Your starter.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So they may actually be worse injury-wise than the Steelers, the more I think about it.
To a certain degree,
yeah. Didn't expect that on Monday.
Right.
You know, saying those words. So, I mean, do you agree still that it's probably no Lane, Highsmith, Deontay?
Probably. We'll see. You know, the injury report will come out a little bit later here, but that's probable.
Uh-huh.
Looks like T.J. Watt is going to play.
Good, yeah.
You know, that's going to be big. For the Steelers' offensive line playing the Bengals' defensive line,
yeah.
Who scares you up there? Is it Hendrickson and nobody else, or can some of the other?
Kind of Reader. Reader reminds me a lot of Javon Hargrave. I mean, he's a modern-day nose tackle, but he's really powerful and a really athletic, wide body that just isn't a stump in the middle. They gave him good money and got nothing out of him last year because of injuries. But I think he could give a lot of an interior push as well as what I expect to be a pretty heavy run game plan for the Steelers, some problems in the middle. I mean, he's not a sack artist, but he's problematic and he'll probably deserve a double team more often than not.
Yeah.
You know, I don't love their edge guys.
Hendrickson, to me, was more of a product of lining up of who he lined up opposite of last year.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, I thought he was maybe the Saints' worst starting defensive lineman, but he had the best numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm not comparing him to Bud, but it was sort of like that, too. Like, Bud got a lot of really good numbers and probably won't in Tennessee if he's Batman, you know, and type of, you know, and those guys get overpaid. Those are
I don't even know if he was Robin. He was more like one of the Wonder Kids.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
Wonder Twins.
Important. Right. He wasn't Superman, but he was important. And usually that's bad business. And Hubbard's kind of like that too. Like they just gave Hubbard big money.
I like Hubbard better than him, than Henderson.
Yeah. I wouldn't have. This doesn't matter on game day on Sunday at 1, but I would not have that much money invested in those two.
Those two guys.
Yeah,
are,
I mean,
like
to me, that's
when you could have just re-signed Lawson. Man, imagine if Lawson re-signs and maybe he doesn't tear his ACL.
I would be more afraid of Lawson and Hubbard.
Lawson was a problem for the Steelers.
He gave Al all he could handle.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to me, he was worth the money for the Jets. I mean, none of us knew he could get hurt. But, no, he's a good young player. He keeps getting better and is tenacious. I mean, I went to the Steelers to draft him when he came out that year, and they ended up taking Watt, which is better, of course. But, you know. No, but their front's good.
Yeah. We'll see if you know how much they can pressure Ben Roethlisberger. I'm of the belief that maybe, just maybe, the Steelers have played two pretty good defenses in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And
I'm pretty convinced the Bills is a really good defense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the Raiders have played very well for 2 weeks. Will it keep up for 15 more? Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. I mean, they're going to play the Chiefs, and, you know, attrition will start to set in. They'll get some guys hurt, and I don't think they're the deepest team. But, you know, what they ran out there the first 2 weeks has been pretty good. I mean, they got after Lamar Jackson pretty well in that game against the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. They've rushed the passer well. Hankins is kind of like one of those big nose tackle types. It's been hard to move. I think the defense in general hasn't looked or had as many weaknesses as it has in the past. They have some younger guys that are starting to take steps forward. Ndakwe and Crosby are a formidable edge pairing, even though people don't, you know, they're not household names. I mean, they're not the Bosas and guys like that. But no, I do think when it's all said and done, I wonder if the Bills is going to be a top five type of defense.
I think there's some potential for
They've looked that way. Yeah. And the Raiders might be a top 12 defense or something, where usually they're 25, you know.
Yeah, which was, I mean, you know, if you're looking at that Steelers offensive line, it's a bad matchup.
Yeah.
It's just a bad matchup for them. I don't know that the Bengals are that.
They played better on that side of the ball than I expected.
Yeah.
But
they do have six sacks, but they played Justin Fields in his first true NFL you know, play. And, you know.
I'll be a little disappointed if the Steelers offense doesn't at least take a baby step forward. You know, have a more success on the ground, stay ahead of the chains a little bit more. I'm not asking for 35 points. I'm just talking about more first downs.
Just some
passing the eyeball
possess
test.
Possess the ball.
Possess the football. You know, make some throws in the middle of the field. You know, I mean, so if that doesn't happen, I'll be very alarmed.
Joe Burrow's sack percentage right now is 14.9%.
Now
people might say, Dale, what does that mean? That means if Burrow dropped back to pass 100 times, he would be sacked, 15 times.
15 times, right.
Like, that's big. A lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And I bet the Steelers get to him at least
15. Put it this way. Most quarterbacks in today's NFL throw between 500 and 600 passes.
Yeah, yeah.
On average.
Yeah, give or take, right.
So if he dropped back to pass 500 times this year, he would be sacked 90 times? Am I right on that? 75 times. Either way, it's a huge number.
More than it should be. And
way
last
more.
Year was...
That would be a record, I believe.
I think so. And he was on that pace pre-injury last year, too. And
so maybe some of it is him holding the football a little
bit. I think the line is a little better on paper, and the tackles actually aren't terrible. The inside's so-so. The center's all right. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. But what's interesting to me is Burrow's rookie year, they were very, very heavy pass, and everybody knew it. And then week one, it was the Mixon show mostly, you know, and which I assumed was going to be the strategy this year. And then in the second week, they get back to throwing a high percentage of the time. I think they only ran the ball like 20 times. You know,
let's put it this way. I just looked it up.
They're close games.
His sack percentage last year was 7.3.
Wow, so it's doubled.
It's doubled.
In a two-game stretch. And the Bears have some dudes.
The Bears and the
Vikings
have
some dudes.
So do the Steelers.
Steelers are better.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's worrisome.
Yeah, if I'm the Bengals this week, I'm going, okay, all right, the Steelers won't have Alo-Alo. Alo-Alo is not a pass rusher.
Right. Good player, but
not
a pass rusher. Not
a pass rusher.
Right.
They still got Hayward. Still got Watt. Still got Ingram. How are we blocking these guys?
And I don't think the Steelers would be bashful about blitzing. I mean, I don't know that you don't blitz these guys, you know, or blitzing's a thing of the past.
Especially if Higgins doesn't play. Like, he won't throw the ball anywhere else.
And Bush is back. I think, you know, interior blitzes with him as well, you know. So maybe fewer corner blitzes. That doesn't seem to be working as well post-Hilton. But, you know, I think Burrow's going to take hits.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then, if you look at those targets for them, it's Higgins with 15, Boyd with 13, Chase with 11, Mixon with 6, and then nobody else has more than 4.
Yeah, their tight ends
they don't throw the ball to anybody else.
Right. I mean, we've talked about this throughout the week. They basically play with 12 different offensive players, and once in a while you'll see a fourth receiver out there. They rotate the tight ends a little bit. Maybe you'll see Evans or P. Ryan for a few snaps. But you're going to see the same dudes snap after snap. And that's why an injury to, like, a Higgins would be a big deal.
Because he's
one of the dudes.
Yeah. He's actually the main dude.
He's the main dude, really. I mean, I think he's their most trusted wide receiver at this point. I think Chase has the highest upside, you know, but I think Higgins is a really good player, got better in year two. And the tight ends, I mean, you remember, Taylor comes from a McVay Rams tree, and the Rams really haven't used the tight end a lot. You know, Higby gets some, but they're not feature parts of the offense. This is by design. I mean, I think you and I kind of chuckled when they drafted Drew Sample in the second round, you know, and he is a blocking tight end. He probably could have gotten the fifth, to be very honest, because blocking tight ends nobody wants anymore. But that's, I mean, he helps their line. He's not a sixth lineman, but he's closer to a tackle than he is a wide receiver.
Yeah. I will say this. The Bengals do have 14 quarterback hits in two games.
Yeah, it's been a little better.
So, I mean, but they blitz.
They do blitz. They do blitz. And we talked about their front. It's not bad. I mean, it's not super deep, but it's not bad. They're like healthy right now.
I expect them to come out. Von Bell will be down on the box the entire game.
A lot, yeah.
You know, they'll have Bates playing single high safety. Von Bell will be in the box, and they're going to load up to, you know, basically force the Steelers to what they did last year when successful in that game in Cincinnati, where weather, I thought, played a factor in that game. You know, let's force Roethlisberger to keep throwing the ball down the field as he did last week. You know, they need Claypool. You know, there were a couple of those plays. They hit on 2 of 8 down the field last week. It easily should have been probably half of them.
Yeah, that needs to be a higher success rate, without question. I'm not sure if I blame the quarterback or the receiver in that, but the connection hasn't been
the one in the end zone. Claypool's got to come down.
He's got to come down with that one. You're 100% right.
That's a touchdown.
One defensive player we haven't mentioned about, because their linebackers basically seem like a bunch of no-names, but Phillips has turned into a pretty good player for them. I mean, he covers a lot of ground. He's rangy.
You mean Logan Wilson?
Wilson, I'm sorry. Yeah, I called him on his phone. Again, no names. I didn't say his name right. But their safety-Wilson combination in the middle of the field is probably better than their corners on the outside. You know, you and I have been stressing, and I don't take this back at all because it has to happen. They need to attack the middle of the field, you know, 8 to 30 yards downfield.
Well, the key is when you're attacking that, not just doing it like having one guy in that zone. Flood the zone with a couple of guys and make him make a choice.
Sure.
And then throw the guy that he doesn't go to.
But even in this game, I would love to see – I mean, how many out routes did Ben and A.B. connect on time and time again that was just
stealing?
Anytime
they wanted, yeah.
I don't see Claypool, Johnson, and Schuster running, taking those steal out routes, drive a guy up the field, chop your feet, go to the sideline, boom, you know, there's 8 yards,
they did it once
yards.
Last week with Claypool.
It's such a staple in the league, though.
It was a 16-yard gain. It was, they false started on first down in the fourth quarter, and Claypool comes out, runs an out, because all he's doing is running down the field. The out should be there constantly.
You would think you could really attack.
And
that
they got
way.
16 yards on it. It was an easy completion, pitch and catch.
I mean, that's just another way to attack that far downfield. You know, out of the short zones, the middle field definitely needs to be attacked. But I mean, every team in the league runs a lot of out routes. I mean, how many out routes did DJ Moore catch last night? Or, you know, I mean, just any
he's still
guys.
Catching passes.
Right.
So, I mean, this won't be an easy game.
No, it will not.
But I think the Steelers are taking a step down in competition from what they've seen the first 2 weeks.
I do, too. I mean, if you were to rank the Bills, Raiders, Steelers, Bengals are last.
Yeah.
But it's very losable. I mean, if this offense
if you come out and
really
play
stumbles,
well, if you play kind of like you did, they have to start faster.
If the Steelers were more injured on defense or some of these groin injuries act up, then I'd really be worried. Yeah. You know, then I may even just pick the Bengals straight out. But as it stands now, I still think the Steelers have a big advantage when Cincy has the ball.
Yeah, I do as well. So we'll see if they take advantage of that. They got to get some turnovers, too.
Yeah.
The defense has to turn the ball, get the ball back.
Yeah. And I've been critical of Ben, and he hasn't been great, I don't think, by anyone's, you know, evaluation. But he has not turned the ball over much.
Right.
I mean,
he's taking care of the football.
And that's been important, because it could be a lot worse if he would have had one or two more turnovers. You know, I mean, just think about that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Just for comparison's sake, Roethlisberger's sack percentage is 5.3.
Okay.
So
that is a startling number.
It's like three times as high as that of Roethlisberger.
Yeah. 15 out of 100. 15, that's where we were at, right? Yeah. 15% sack rate. And, I mean, we say this a lot. Like, if you put Peyton Manning behind that line, it would still be 3%.
Yeah.
You know, if you put Ben in Cincinnati, it would be lower than 15.
Yes.
Like, some of these are on the quarterback. And in this case, I think a lot of it's on the quarterback. But Cam Hayward versus one of their guards might not matter who the quarterback is.
Right. Or let alone their backup guard.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's going to be an uphill climb for the Bengals, too. But they have some scary offensive skill guys.
Yeah. Yep. They always seem to do that. That's,
yeah, they do. Yeah. Chase is very dangerous.
Yeah. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at all this week's games right after this.